coming up this week on the Rave Podcast.
But also, I think it's important for you to understand why your generation matters, why you're here. What are you supposed to do? What are you going to do with your life? What's your purpose? How are you guys doing tonight? Okay. I know you guys have more energy than I do, and I can do better than that. I'm gonna ask you one more time, how are you doing tonight? There we go, there we go. So guys, I had this realization last night that I'm getting older. Like, and it's really sad. Like, first of all, I don't think you guys realize how hard, how emotionally, spiritually, and physically draining it is to write a message. And we have our senior pastor, Pastor Paul, and Pastor Eric, who write messages all the time. Guys, give it up for them. I was up, no joke, until 3 o'clock in the morning writing my message. And I like woke up this morning, I was like, I need like an IV of coffee. I need a Red Bull. I need a Monster. I need anything besides crack, because crack is whack, so I can like feel alive. And so, but guys, I am so honored to be sharing with you guys this evening a message that God's put on my heart. This message tonight is called Chosen Generation. Everyone say Chosen Generation. So if you are as old as me, which none of you in this room are, but or you're older. I mean, Brendan, Sierra, a couple of you guys. We are called the Millennials. I think the Millennials are the best generation. Give it up for the Millennials. We are the best. Everyone makes fun of us. There's tons of memes out there about us. That means we're just the greatest. But how many of you guys know what your generation is called? I heard it over here. What's your generation called? Gen Z. And for those of you that don't know what a Gen Z is you are the social media generation. You were born either between the time of 1995 or 2009. So if you fall into that category, that is you. And if you're still unsure if you're a Generation Z, see if you can agree with at least one of these statements. You might be a Generation Z child if you display symptoms of emotional distress when kept away from your personal electronic devices. Okay. Number two, you might be a Generation Z child if you get upset if you go somewhere where there is little or no internet connection. He's like, preach, I see you in the back. He's like, she knows, she gets it. Number three, you might be a Generation Z child if you use YouTube or other social media sites for typical school research assignment. Number four, this one's probably my favorite. You might be a Generation Z child if you consider an extreme sport searching for the right meme to send your group chat before someone else does. All the Millennials and Generation X are like, what in the world? Okay, last one. You might be a Generation Z child if you deeply fear missing out and deeply aspire to be a leader and make a difference one day. Some of you are like, maybe, maybe not. So how many of you in this room say, you at least identify with one of those statements? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you. And if you're raising your hand, you're a Generation Z. Welcome to the Generation Z social media generation. So many of you guys in this room, you guys hide behind all these filters. I mean, I go to your guys' social media accounts, and I'm like, man, either I'm like really ugly, or like they have like this beautiful family line, and they always look great, and they got the perfect teeth and the perfect suntan. Carter's like, heck yes. You guys know how to apply filters. But a lot of you say that behind the filters, there's a lot of stress behind that. And the reason being is because you guys a lot of times find your well-being or your self-worth by how many likes you get, how many retweets, shares, how many people view your story, or how many people simply message you about how great or inspirational that post was. And if you go a day without seeing maybe that one person that you look up to liking your post or sharing your post or looking at your story, you experience stress. You almost feel as if you're not worthy or you're not good enough. It was funny when I interviewed a student that was born in 1999, so they're approximately 19 years old, described your generation like this. We are mentally unstable, emotionally broken, spiritually vacant, physically torn, but still pretending everything is peachy perfect. Everything is peachy perfect. If we were to go on your Instagram account, your Facebook account, your Snapchat account, everything is perfect. But behind the filters, behind the facade, life's kind of chaotic for you. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this generation. I thank you that they are chosen to be in this day and age. I thank you that they're going to do something greater and better than any generation before them. Better than the baby boomers, better than the generation X's and Y's and everything. They're going to do something bigger than they can ever imagine. And God, I pray that they realize that it's okay to not be okay. That they don't have to hide behind the filters. They don't have to hide behind their multiple Instagram posts. And that they realize that they have a purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So a lot of you are asking, why in the world is Chanel up here telling me about my generation? First of all, I'm a psychology major, so this is what I do. Like, I love studying social trends. I love studying generations. But also, I think it's important for you to understand why your generation matters. Why you're here. What are you supposed to do? What are you going to do with your life? What's your purpose? And so that's the question we're going to answer tonight. And my first point tonight is, first of all, your generation has been chosen to be leaders of today. Your generation is chosen to be leaders of today, not when you're 20 years old, not when you have a family, not when you get that great career, but you are leaders today. That means right now at 7:33 p.m., you are called to be a leader. I love what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9. It says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim, announce officially or publicly the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I know a lot of you, maybe you're like, well, if you told my mama that, like my mom and dad, they just list about how my generation's lazy, how we're on internet too much, how we're racking up their data bill, how they're gonna cut my phone line off. Like my parents would say and my teachers would say the opposite. But you know what? The great thing is you guys are chosen. You guys have been marked to do something bigger than yourself. And when I think about this, I think about the story of Esther. How many in this room have heard about the story of Esther? Okay, for those of you who have not, that's okay. Esther is my favorite book in the Bible. It is just so inspirational. So what basically happens in Esther's story is there's this king, his name is King Xerxes, and he gets sick of his wife. He's like over his wife. And so he's like, you know what? I'm sick of you. We're gonna replace you with someone else. And here's Esther. She's a teenage girl, probably around your age, maybe a little bit older. And he goes into the town and he handpicks hundreds of different ladies to bring to the palace. And they have to go through a year worth of beauty treatments. Okay, my thought there is like, what the heck is a girl supposed to do for a year? Like, they're like, if you read scripture, they're like bathing in rose petals every day. They're getting fragrances and perfumes poured on them. First of all, that would burn my eyes. Like, that's not healthy. That hurts. Anyway, after a year, they go and approach the king, and he handpicks the one he wants to marry. And out of hundreds of different ladies from across the land, he picks Esther. And the funny thing I think about this is, why Esther? Why Esther? Was there something special about her? Was there something different about her? But it just as I was thinking about that, I'm like, okay, of all the people in the world that he could have picked, he picked Esther, who had to be the right age, in the right town, at the right place to be handpicked. And we're going to pause the story there, and we're going to go on later on. I'll tell you the rest of the story. But the great thing is since Esther was chosen, she was instantly given a platform as the queen. She was instantly given influence. She was instantly given a voice to make a difference in her land. And that's a lot like you guys. Is you guys have a platform that your parents, that generations before you, would kill to have. That you can post something on Instagram and someone clear across the world can read your post and get inspired by it. They can like it. You can share things. You can become a leader and not have to really do anything. But you guys have a platform and you can make a difference more than any other generation before. But I sometimes wonder, I'm like, do they even realize it? Do you realize the influence you've been given? Do you realize the audience that watches you, the people that watch you? And my question to you is, what are you going to do with that platform? Are you going to take more selfies of yourself? Are you going to take pictures of your dog? What are you going to do with the influence that you've been given? And that leads me to my next point. As your generation has been appointed, placed, and purposely planted and chosen for this community. I want to say one thing here tonight is, a lot of you, I don't know if you're like me, I remember probably up until I was 21 years old, I constantly felt like I was a mistake. I had one of my siblings tell me that, Chanel, you're only here because the pill didn't work. Yeah. And from that moment, I instantly felt that I wasn't good enough, that I was a mistake, that my parents didn't want me. And therefore, since my parents didn't want me, God probably didn't want me, and probably I was just a sitting duck and I had nothing planned for my life. But I'm here to tell you today that God didn't make a mistake, that he chose for you to be born in this day and age, to be born in the community that you're currently in. Whether that's Centerville, whether that's Three River, whether that's Constantine, Marcellus, Sturgis, Pawpaw for Mila, you have been purposely planted there to make a difference. But I don't know about you. You can be like I was in high school. I was at the point where I was like, I just want to get out of high school. I don't even care. Like, whatever class I have to sleep through, I just want to get out of Three Rivers. But I didn't take the opportunities that I had. I kind of just blended in. But what if I told you the reason you go to Three Rivers High School is to do something there? But all you have to do is step out and be brave. All you have to do is simply speak. Because God appointed you and placed you and purposely planted you there. I love what it says in John 15:16. It says this. It says, you didn't choose me. This is God speaking to us. He's like, remember, you didn't choose me. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. I love what it says in the Amplified Version because I think it's a little bit more blunt, and it kind of just tells you like it is. It says this, it says, you have not chosen me, but I chose you. And I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. And that your fruit would remain and be lasting. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, as my representative, he may give you. Basically what this is saying is God didn't make a mistake on you. You didn't choose God. You rejected God, but God said, hey, I chose you to be here in Three Rivers, to be here in Centerville, to be here in White Pigeon, to do something bigger than yourself. But you just have to say yes. And you know what? To make matters even better, whatever you ask for in my name, so not for Carter's game, not for Mila's game, not for Justice's game, not for Samantha's game, but for God's name, so whatever you're doing to step out in my name, I'll give you, whether that be influence, whether that be blessings, whatever that may be, I'll give it to you. And you know what? You can be like I was in high school. Man, I could not wait to get out of Three Rivers. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't stand the people here. I can't stand, you know, that we only have Applebee's to go to for dinner. Good Lord, have mercy. One restaurant. Step it up, Three Rivers. Seriously, though. But I want to challenge you with this. First of all, I'm still here in Three Rivers, and I actually love being in Three Rivers. But instead of seeing the problems in your community, see the possibilities. Instead of pointing out the problem and saying, hey, I wish I had this. Hey, I wish we had another restaurant. Why don't you start a restaurant one day? See the possibilities. Be the solution. Don't just look at the problems in your community. Be the solution to your community. If you're tired of the status quo, if you're tired of the cliques, if you're tired of people treating other people a certain way, change it. Change it. What's keeping you from changing it? It takes one person to start a movement. And is that going to be you? You know, I love this one student. He, every time I'm around him, he doesn't even know this, and I'm so heartbroken that he's not here tonight, but he honestly inspires me and Pastor Eric to go and give 200%, is Dontre. Every time I'm around Dontre, he is always talking about basketball. He is always talking about basketball, and he's around his buddies, and he's like, guys, you don't understand. Right now, you're playing games. Right now, you're just goofing around playing basketball, but you know what? This is your practice. You want to make it into college ball? You want to be something? This is your practice right now. This isn't fun and games. This is your moment. Give 200%. Who cares if your teammates are only giving 50%? You go the extra mile. You be different. See, Dontre understands that, you know what, I'm not waiting for other people to make a movement. I'm not waiting for things to change. I'm going to be the solution. I'm going to be different. I'm going to give 200%. And my thing is, are you like that? Are you going to go the extra mile? Are you going to make a difference in your community? Or are you just going to wait around for someone else to do it? Maybe the reason why that thing's on your heart, whatever is on your mind right now, is because you're the very person that needs to change it. I love what it says in Jeremiah 17:8. Is they will be like a tree planted by the water that send out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no words in years of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And the reason why I love this scripture so much is because it talks about a tree. If I were to pick a tree up right now, like a little tree, I'm not like the Hulk, I can't pick up a whole tree. But you know, like a little twig tree that's like flopping over like Charlie Brown? If I were to pick that up and I were just to hold it like this, I'm like, what if I plant it over here? And then 2 days later, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't like that spot. It doesn't have enough sunlight. You know, I'm not really thrilled about that. And I'm gonna plant it right here. Then I let that sit there for maybe like 2 weeks. Then I'm like, you know what? I don't like this spot either. I can't see it as good. And I put it over here, and I'm constantly switching it from place to place. What do you think is going to eventually happen to that tree? It's going to die. And see, so many times we're like that tree, is we don't want to be planted anywhere. We're over, you know, I feel like I'm called to be on this team. Man, this team is better. Or these group of people are so better. Or this community is so better. And then 2 weeks later, you know what? I'm going to go over here because I like this better. Over here, maybe the school is better, or maybe this over here is better, and we're over here. And we never allow ourselves to be planted and make a difference in our community because we don't see the possibilities in our community. We don't see the change that can happen in that community. And I want to challenge, are you like that tree, or are you planted? Are you planted in a community? Are you planted in a church? Where you can grow, where you can bear fruit, and where people can challenge you and tell you, hey, you know what, you have the gift of leadership on your life. Hey, you have the gift of influence. Hey, you have the gift of hospitality. Man, you can sing. Where are you planted? If I were to ask you that, where are you planted? My third point is this, is your generation has been chosen to leave a legacy. Jumping back into the story of Esther, because she's my girl, is you see, Esther, like many married couples, her and her husband started not to get along. You know, things had came in between their relationship, and he didn't want to see her. And see, back in those Bible times, you couldn't just approach the king. You can't just like walk up in his space and say, hey, honey, you know, what's going on? Or, hey, I'm the queen. If you even approach the king without him asking for you, you could be instantly killed. Because they don't know why you're coming. You could like try to kill him, poison him. It doesn't matter if you're his wife, child, he has to ask for you. And so she hasn't been asked to come see the king in a couple months. And she's like, oh my gosh, is he gonna kill me? Like, am I gonna like get thrown out like the other queen? Like, what's gonna happen? And all of a sudden her cousin comes and tells her and says, hey, there's this decree that's been written that is gonna wipe out your entire community. That's gonna kill everyone. And she's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, the king hasn't asked me to come. I can't just approach him. And I love what Mordecai says back to her in Esther 4:14. It says this. It says, don't think that just because you live in the king's house, basically, don't think that you're better than us. Don't think that just because you're queen, that you forget where you came from. So don't think that just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out of this alive. See, Esther was the minority, and they were trying to take out everyone, including her. He said, if you persist in staying silent at such a time as this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from someplace else, but you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. That has been like a life verse for me, and so many times where I feel like, man, what am I going to do with my life? Man, how am I important? God reminds me of that scripture. He's like, Chanel, you were created for such a time as this. You were appointed and purposely planted here in Three Rivers to make a difference. All you have to do is say yes. Remember, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I appointed you. I put a dream and a passion in your heart. And you just have to say yes. And so many of you in this room, is you're like, but you know what, Chanel, you don't know my family. You don't know where I come from. But I want to give you some hope. Is your family's period can become your comma. I want to say that one more time. Your family's period can become your comma. You see, a period indicates that the story has ended. It's complete, it's over, it's finished. A comma indicates that there's a slight break between different parts of the story, that the story is not yet finished. So maybe for some of you in this room, you're like, you see, my family's known for drugs, period. My family is known for divorce, period. My family is the worst family in town, period. Period, period. I don't know what your family's like, but you know what? You can change that period to a comma. You can say, you know what? My family is known for drugs, comma, but no longer. I'm going to be the change. I'm going to do something different. You can say, you know what? My family, for instance, being personal, everyone in my family, almost every single person in my family has gotten a divorce. And me and Eric have said, you know what? That ends with us. No longer is our family going to be known for a divorce, period. We're saying, you know what? No longer is our family going to be known for a divorce. So what is that for you? What is your family known for? What are you putting a period at? What are you saying, no, I can't do that because of this? Put a comma there. Your story's not finished. God has more for you. God has a purpose for your life. And that leads me to my last point. It says, your generation has been chosen to represent Jesus in every area of your life. So like I was saying earlier, is I'm a new mom. And I just finally got to sleep 5 hours in a row, like this month. Praise God. Like, thank you. Thank you. So one thing is kids are very expensive. Super expensive. You buy toys like this. And it's plastic, and you'll go out and you'll spend $50 on a toy like this that your kid's gonna bite, drool, smear their poop. I mean, God forbid, do all different things to this toy that I just spent $50 on. Ridiculous, I know. But you know, this is my son's Uriah's favorite toy. He loves it. It makes a whole bunch of different sounds. He likes to drive it. And it was so funny, one day, my nephew came over and he saw this big red car. And he instantly was like, I want to play in the car. And so Uriah, you know, we're kind of watching, like, is he going to share? And Uriah, you know, lets my nephew get in the car. And so my nephew's in the car, and he's playing with this car and all this stuff. And I'm just kind of watching, and I'm like, I don't even care. And Uriah, all Uriah does is, so my nephew's in the car, and Uriah just comes up behind him, and he's just holding it on like this, just watching my nephew play. And what does my nephew do? He pushes him down. I'm like, okay, Chanel, don't hit the child. Chanel, don't hit the child. You know, let, you know, just watch it. And so he pushes Uriah down. Uriah's on the ground, and Uriah just gets back up. And he just stands like this again, just watching him and watching him. And then he begins to yell at him like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, fool, this is his toy. And you are pushing and yelling at him while you're playing his toy. And I'm just watching this all play out, and he'll push Uriah down. Uriah just gets back up, and he's just watching him enjoy his toy. But you know what? It was funny, as I was watching this, God kind of put this on my heart. He's like, Chanel, how many times are you like your nephew, that you have this amazing gift, and all I want to do is, I'm just like Uriah, and all I want to do is just watch and observe, and you push me away. You say, no, I don't want you in that area of my life. Maybe for your car, it represents your giftings. And all God wants to do is, he wants to be like Uriah and just watch. And you're saying, no, I don't want you a part of this area of my life. Maybe he wants to be a part and say, hey, I want you to use your influence on social media to represent me. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. That's not cool. I won't have friends. Maybe he's saying, stand up for that person in school. Maybe he's saying, hey, be the leader that you want to be. You know what's funny about your generation? 82% of you say that you want to own your own business and be an influential leader in your community. But anytime God tries to put that character in you, he just stands by that car. What do? Push him away. You say, nope, I don't want you in that area of my life. You can be in any other area, but no. And God's like, I gave you the red car. Like, this is my red car. Like, I own this red car. I gave that to you. But God is so tender and so loving that he comes back every time just to watch, because he loves us so much. So I want to ask you, what's that red car? Because God wants to be a part of it all. And remember that promise that God said, that he will bless you. He will give you everything that you need if you do it in his name. So what are you doing for God? How are you using your influence? How are you being a leader in your community? Or are you just a spectator? I want to encourage you that I believe in this generation more than you probably believe in yourself. I believe that you guys aren't the lazy generation, that you guys aren't just addicted to your cell phones, but I believe that you can make a difference. And the only person holding you back from that is yourself. So are you going to choose to be just like everyone else and be a spectator? Are you going to choose to be a part of a chosen generation that says, hey, I'm not going to fall for the status quo. Hey, I'm going to be different, even if that means doing things that not everyone else does, making stands that not everyone does. Because if you do that, then I can guarantee that you're going to be a part of a generation that makes a difference. Let's bow our head and pray. God, thank you so much for this generation. God, I thank you that this generation was born for such a time as this. That they're not a mistake, that they're not lazy, that they're not addicted to their phones, but God, that they have been given a platform, that they've been given influence, that they've been given the leadership to do things greater than they could ever dare, dream, or imagine. God, show them how much you believe in them. Give them a glimpse of the plans and purpose that you have for them right now in this moment. Maybe for you in this room, as you're saying, you know what, Chanel? I used to be like that. I used to, man, Chanel, I used to have dreams. I used to believe in myself. Man, I used to be on fire for God. But you know what? Over time, that flame has just kind of dwindled out. And Chanel, I just need you to pray for me, that something just reignite that passion, that I realize that my generation has been chosen to do something bigger than themselves. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in this room, you just say, Shana, I want you to pray for me. If you can just raise your hand for me in this room with no one looking around, just raise your hand. Thank you, I see those hands. Thank you, I see those hands. Thank you, I see those hands. You are definitely not alone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands going up, thank you. You can put your hands down. But maybe for you in this room, this is your first time in church. You're like, whoa, what did I just step into? What is all this? But you know, you're just saying, you know, I want to have a relationship with a God like that. With a God who believes in me, with a God who's cheering me on, with a God that has a purpose and plan for my life. And you know what, Chanel, I don't have everything figured out. But today I want to start that relationship with Jesus with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you can just raise your hand in this room, I just want just to pray a special prayer for you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you. So many hands going up. You can put your hands down. And I want everyone in this room to repeat this prayer after me. Say it loud and proud. Say, Jesus, thank you for choosing me to be part of this generation. Thank you that you believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. God, I invite you into my heart today. Inspire me to be the person that you've created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.